Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. QuickBooks is the industry standard bookkeeping and accounting software. My anecdotal guess is that north of 85% of our members and listeners use it. So I thought it'd be cool to have someone on from QuickBooks who can teach us how to get the most out of it and what mistakes to avoid when using it. Nate Flake is the Senior Partner Development Manager at Intuit, the makers of QuickBooks, and he also hosts their Constructing Growth podcast. Today, we're going to unpack the 10 most crucial QuickBooks mistakes contractors all too often make with their QuickBooks and how to avoid them. Before we dive in, we have a really cool profit leaks handout from Intuit you can download using the link in the description. Without further ado, let's dive in with Nate.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
If you're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability, you've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting.
Nate Flake, welcome to the podcast. How are you, my friend?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, Benji.
So listen, a quick question here before we get into some of these, I don't know what we're going to call this, QuickBooks secrets, I don't know, mistakes to avoid, whatever. I want to ask you a question that I wonder if some of our members can learn from. Intuit QuickBooks is absolutely a category king. And by that, I mean way more than 80% of our members use this as their dedicated bookkeeping and accounting software. That is not something that you can say about other things in their tech stack. Like the market for CRMs is way more distributed. Project management tools way more distributed. There's much more variance and sort of fracture with other products or vendors that our listeners purchase and use. But when it comes to like bookkeeping and accounting software, you guys basically own the space. So congratulations. The question is like, I don't know, is there anything that you guys think you do, like what do you think you do well that would explain that kind of market penetration? And is there anything that our listeners, I know you guys are a software provider, the people listening are builders and landscapers and roofers, et cetera, but is there anything, are there any business lessons we can learn from that kind of success?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think the first thing is like keeping it simple, right? You don't have to be a bookkeeper. I'm not a bookkeeper, an accountant, so I work with different partners, and you don't have to be a bookkeeper to use QuickBooks, right? It's simple, right? So keeping it simple is probably lesson number one. Like the user interface of QuickBooks, you can get in there. It's designed to be able to be downloaded and used day one,
yeah.
Right? So that's one thing. Another thing we've done really well is meeting the customers where they are, right? If you kind of track the history of Intuit and their different brands, they do a lot of like customer follow me homes, right? And they want to see like, how is this customer using the product? And that because of that, we've come out with different products within QuickBooks Online, for example, right? Mm-hmm. We're not trying to say, hey, this one product is going to fit all. So I think that's a good lesson, you know, for the listeners is like, not every client's going to be the same. And although that would be amazing, right? If you would just had a one size fits all thing and it was a templated cookie cutter approach would be great, but you got to go kind of that extra mile and make sure that every customer is accounted for with their needs. And what's funny is that actually ends up paying out in dividends with return customers, return service, right?
I really like that point you make about ease of use. And I think that we've talked about this on the show before, but I really think that there is something that the blue collar business owner can learn from the more software as a service, like Silicon Valley style businesses, in the sense that you got, I'm saying Intuit as an example, but software more broadly is incredibly, incredibly good and forward thinking and progressive about this idea of ease of use. Make it incredibly simple, not confusing, use language people understand, design the interface in a way that people get and it kind of clicks. And I see a really interesting movement in our space where people are moving in that direction in their own way, completely different vertical, delivering a completely different product. But there's a parallel lesson. It's like something is as simple as doing an setting up an online booking portal so that somebody can get an electrician over to their house without calling a number where someone might not pick up and then they have to leave a voicemail, like stuff like that. Yeah. I just think that is a huge, we can learn from you guys, and we are, and it's happening, and I think that's very cool. I want to talk really quickly about my outfit. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Snazzy Construction. This is Dalton Reed's business. He's a Breakthrough Academy member. He says for three glorious years, they specialize in remodels that are north of 300K. So bigger remodels. They're based in beautiful Salt Spring Island here in BC. And the biggest thing that he's gotten from Breakthrough Academy is the importance of working on his business, not in it. Cheers, Dalton. Thanks for the outfit. If you want to work or you want to check out, you want to learn more about Breakthrough Academy, the work we do, the 600 plus contractors we work with, you can do that clicking the link in the description. Let's get back to this conversation with Nate. So I'm going to set this up this way, Nate. Given that almost everyone uses QuickBooks, I think that it's, and this is why we wanted to have you on, I think it's actually pretty valuable to just do a bit of a, what would you call it? Mistakes to avoid, QuickBooks Online secret style episode. If you're not a QuickBooks user, maybe become one or don't listen to this episode. But for the vast majority of you who are, we're going to go through kind of 10 things that are going to make your relationship with the product, your output from the product, the ease of use with the product a little bit better. So that's the idea. We're going to go through 10 things. I'm going to set these up. You're going to knock them down. I may have some follow-up questions on some, but that's kind of how we'll do this. Are you good with that, Nate?
Love it. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So number one on the list is improper setup.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So it's, I mean, I'm not going to make a comparison to construction with every one of these, but this is like you're building the foundation of a house, right? And I'm not a contractor, so I'm not going to pretend to know any of these things, but like you got to start, everybody knows you got to start with a solid foundation. We see a lot of people, and again, I work with partners that work in people's QuickBooks files and do a lot of, data migration and data corruption fixes and things like that from files that have been not set up correctly. But just like, you know, we talked about being able to use this day one, that's correct, but you need to set it up correctly from day one. So you'd be surprised at how many people don't set up a customized chart of accounts, right? So they'll get in and they'll just say, hey, ready to go. I'm going to do the default settings it tells me, even though I'm specific to framing or I do concrete or whatever it is. And we're just going to roll with that. And that's fine. But later on, it's going to cause you inaccurate financial reporting. There's going to be, you know, it's going to have a headache for you later on. So you got to set it up properly. The way to do that. So I'm going to try to give, if that's all right with you, Benji, I'm going to try to give solutions to each of these. 100%, so people know,
please.
These are the hacks, right? These are the QuickBooks hacks. Customize the chart of accounts to match the specific needs of your business, right? So adding accounts in that are unique to your business, remove stuff that's not needed. I know it comes with a list. It's going to give you, hey, here's the default chart of accounts.
But that's a template.
You don't have to.
That's just a template. Like, right.
Yes. Yes. It's like anything else. It's template. You can use some stuff. You can get rid of some stuff, but you don't need to be crazy complex day one. Start out with, hey, I know I need A, B, and C. I'm going to put those in. These ones I've never heard of, so I'm scrapping them. Right. Start out simple. You can always make this more complex years two, three, four. You know, when you have we're going to get to this later, but like when you have a bookkeeper, check it out. But if you're starting and you're starting a business and like your strength is like doing, like I said, like one of the like framing or whatever it is, like just come in here, make sure it's set up basic. You have a couple customized chart accounts there and you're going to be leaps and bounds ahead of where you would have been if you would have just hit the default, this template.
So one of the challenges I think a lot of people have when it comes to using tools, especially ones that are sort of financial in nature, is there's a big like knowledge gap, and often contractors are too embarrassed to ask. They don't actually feel comfortable by asking. They're admitting that they don't know, and so they just kind of want to skate past it. Here's a very practical question on this. How useful or not useful is a bookkeeper when it comes to like setting this up? Like, in other words, I have a feeling that many times the bookkeeper may not know any better, but then the contractor doesn't know that the bookkeeper doesn't know better. And so they're thinking that they're an expert when in reality they're not. Like,
they're not.
Right. So like, is it best to just go straight to customer support if someone needs help? Like go directly to Intuit? Like where should they get help when people need it?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So like Intuit, so we're like the software provider, right? But if you want some training on QuickBooks, like we don't do that. With this is why my job exists. So I work with QuickBooks partners. We call them QuickBooks solution providers, which fancy name for partner, which essentially they're the bookkeepers. They're the gurus. They're the ones that come in and train on the file. They implement the file. They fix the file. We're going to talk about third-party integrations at some point. I'm sure like they implement those too. So to answer your question, like, it's very easy to find bookkeepers that are specific to certain verticals, construction being one of them. So I would recommend doing that. Right. And they're not bad. Like I have a buddy that does cement that, just helped me with a project in my house. And he uses one that essentially is like almost like an outsourced bookkeeper, kind of like an outsourced CFO type thing. And he just pays like a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
Right. And he knows that, you know, there's an office of 20 of these outsourced CFOs. And one or two of them are specific to construction and they each deal with, you know, it's like a, maybe a 20, 30 minute call a month, if that, but like to get it set up properly, if you're not fully confident, which is why a lot of people just use the default and then they end up paying for it later a little bit is with effort and kind of cleanup. It's very easy to find those and they've dealt with people that literally don't know anything about accounting. They don't expect you to know which is why their job exists. So don't feel bad about like not knowing, right? They don't know how to do your job. You don't know how to do theirs. That's why it's great. That's why
there's a lesson there about not being afraid to ask dumb questions. I am the freaking king of that. I think that's why I have this podcast. I'm never afraid to be the dumb person in the room. So try to ask questions that make you nervous. You're not going to embarrass yourself. Everyone else is wondering the same question. They're just 100%. Too nervous to ask it. Hey everyone, if you're an avid listener of this show, there is a very good chance that you know what it feels like to have an unprofitable year in business. It can be a dark place. Now, the simplest and biggest ROI financial control that you can put in place is an annual budget. And we've made a low-tech and easy-to-use budgeting tool that will work for any contracting business at any size. Stop being a financial freewheeler. Download it using the link in the description. Okay, number two is neglecting job costing. Say more about that, Nate.
Yeah, so this seems like a scary phrase, right? Job costing. You're like, oh, again, do I have to have an accounting degree to get into this? But essentially, you're thinking, when you think about job costing, the mistake a lot of people make is they don't implement any type of system to track their expenses associated with projects, right? Or customers. So they just lump it all into one big deposit account. And, you know, someone comes to my house, fixes my plumbing, goes to my next door, is fixing plumbing, and that all that revenue goes into the same bucket, which is like very, very bad to do.
Very bad
for taxes.
By the way,
I've
seen these, like, you know, sometimes when we're doing business assessments, we ask to see numbers and just sort of, we're trying to get to know a business, see if we can help them. And they'll do a QuickBooks report and you'll see this like massive cost of goods sold. And it's like $500,000. It's like the entire business's production year, labor subs, materials, rentals, dumping fees, miscellaneous stuff. It's all aggregated into one COGS number. And you're like, what the f*** am I looking at?
Zero breakdown.
I can't make heads or tails of this at all.
That's so brutal. Yeah, that's brutal. And again, I think like a lot of these issues we're going to talk about is the same thing. People are like, well, I don't know how to do it perfectly, so why would I even try to do it at all, right? The solution to this, again, start small. You can create job codes or project codes within QuickBooks Online, and I would start with two. Customers as one, projects as another. Because then again, you'll be miles ahead of anyone else not doing this, and your bookkeeper will kiss you on the face and they'll be so happy later because they won't have to go every single job, every single date. So just those two, right? And that way you can track expenses associated to the projects, right? And then later on, if you want to get a little more brave, you can add items in there, right? So then within a project, you can say, okay, items is going to be my, you know, consumables for this project. And then here's my actual material labor, right? And then you can kind of get deeper, but start with customers and projects.
Yep.
That's so easy to do. And then QuickBooks Online, like I said, it's the user interface. It makes it easy. After expenses come in, you literally drag and drop. And if you're like, hey, well, Nate, I have no idea how to even do that. Like, I'm not a tech guy. I can barely use a computer. Get on YouTube. There's thousands of videos. I have QuickBooks partners that are mega on YouTube. That's all they do is teach on YouTube. Yeah. Right? There's so much free education out there. Like, nobody should be doing this incorrectly at this point. It's 2024.
This whole idea, I'm sort of beating a dead horse here because we've talked about it on other episodes, but you know, it bears repeating, especially for our newer listeners. Like, if you talk to any really, really profitable business owner who's maybe 5 years ahead of you or 10 years ahead of you, someone that you look up to, a business that you admire, you can tell by their building and their vehicles and the swagger that this man or woman walks around with. You can tell that they're making good money. And you ask them what the most pivotal system, in specifically where profitability is concerned, was. 99 times out of 100, they're going to say doing job costing. Like, that was the big shift. And it's a very simple idea. Like, if you run a tradesy business of some sort, doesn't matter what industry, you make or lose your money on the job site. You don't make your money in the lumber yard. You don't make your money walking around the office. You don't make your money. Like, it happens on the job site. So if there isn't a system to track how efficient that job site is in terms of labor productivity, how well materials are getting purchased, if that's being done well, managing scope creep, et cetera, all that stuff, you are flying blind. You may sort of pat yourself on the back that you have a report that aggregates it all together, like I said earlier, but you can't really make heads or tails of it. That's not telling you very much, and you're missing the most important part of your business. So I love that part. On that note, actually, I'm just going to make a quick mention. Nate was generous enough to provide. We've got this really cool, like, profit leaks document from QuickBooks, and it just goes through where the leaks in construction businesses are for profit. If you want to download that, I think it's one or two pages. I just had a look at it a second ago. You can use the link in the description. We'll say, like, profit leaks document or something. Download that and have a look at it. That's our way of saying thanks for listening. Okay, number three. Incorrect use of accounting methods.
Yeah, so this one's pretty cut and dry. So there's basically cash or accrual. And again, this is why I'm not a bookkeeper. This is where you're going to want your accountant or bookkeeper to give you an idea of, but depending on your trade, your business, and what accounting method you should be on. But it's essentially, once you turn that accrual on, when you set up your QuickBooks account, you can't go back and, like, 6 months later, turn it off to a different version. Right. So you got to make sure when you set it up the first time that it's on the correct method, depending on what you guys do for long-term projects, depending on what your business does. But yeah, that's like, you'd be shocked at how many times we see that. Right. And they're like, hey, my reporting's off. And then we go in and you're like, oh, well, you're on cash accounting. You're not on accrual.
Like, they just sort of like have the wrong setting turned on. Like, it's literally
that's it's like it. A and switch. It's something as stupid as that. Yeah. So. So that's the one we see fairly common.
Do you guys have an opinion on accrual is better, cash is better? Are you guys fairly open and you leave that up to the user?
It just depends on what they're trying to do with their business, right? Like, if they're lean and if they're bootstrapping this thing with their life savings, you know, and they have 20 grand to run through in 3 months and they kind of burn the boats type thing, and like, this has to work, like, they need to probably be on cash.
Yeah.
Right. If they're trying to scale or whatever, or they have funding, like, it all depends. Again, that's super specific, and it's another kind of good reason to have a bookkeeper in your back pocket to at least ask that question.
We, just for what it's worth, we at Breakthrough Academy generally advocate for an accrual approach that works better for larger businesses and beyond. So take that for whatever it's worth. Okay, mistake or hack number four, overbilling and underbilling. What would you want to say about that?
Yeah, this goes back to what you're talking about, your costing, your job costing, right? And so if you're doing a poor management of billing, right, it's going to result in cash flow issues. It's going to give you distorted revenue reporting later on. This is really hard this is for every business. This isn't specific to contractors or construction companies, but they don't regularly monitor their billing against projects, right? It could be a marketing agency and they're charging hourly. And if you're not doing, I know it's annoying, I know it's hard, it's just one more thing to add to your list, but, like, you got to regularly check in on the project cost or else they can get away from you, right?
Are people, do they just forget about it? Are they busy with other stuff? Are they, is it maybe an attitude thing where they're sort of like naive and they say, well, they'll pay me later. What difference does it make if it's now or if it's in 2 weeks? Like,
yeah, I think they fall in two camps, either too trusting and they're like, oh, we're, you know, the customer won't mind if this is $5,000 more because they're super nice. And of course they're not, or they're just lazy. Honestly, they just like, don't want it. It's just one more thing.
So I'll make a comment about this. We did a video the other day. I don't think it's released yet. Check on our YouTube. It's probably out by now. On just talking about cash crunches, like just that as an idea for construction businesses. Most businesses go bankrupt, go out of business, not because they're not profitable, not because they can't get customers, not because a whole list of reasons that you might think. They literally just get into cash crunch situations. A huge majority of the time, one of the leading factors of that is they literally just forgot about invoicing their clients when they should have. It's like money that you are owed and all you have to do is send them the bill so that they can then send you money 30 days later or 60 days later, whatever. You get a little cavalier, you're moving a little too fast and loose. And out of nowhere, I mean, really, it's not nowhere. In hindsight, you can kind of forensically see where the mistakes were made. But when you're moving quickly, it just seems like a fairly innocuous thing. And it's not. You kind of get caught in a spot where you don't have the cash on hand to meet very, very short-term, very, very short-term financial obligations, and the business chokes out. So super, super common way. I think I cited a report. When businesses go out of business, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think 80% of the time, it's a cash flow issue, not a profitability issue. Like, this is an otherwise profitable business that gets caught with their pants down. So invoice your clients, guys. Point number five, inadequate tracking of work in progress or WIP. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is like even one level down from kind of underbilling or overbilling, but not accurately tracking your work in progress on the balance sheet, it can screw you later on, right? And it's an easy solution. We talked about chart of accounts at the start of this episode. If you can create specific sub accounts within those chart of accounts for those work in progress projects, right? And you can do it for subcontractors, labor, and other direct costs, right? And so I know a lot of people probably don't even know that QBO projects is a feature within QBO. Again, YouTube is free. It's very easy to learn how to use this. But you can track existing expenses, timesheets, labor, invoices, all on the same project. So it makes it easier to not do number four, which was underbill or overbill, right? The reason they're underbilling and overbilling is because they don't have the visibility in the work in progress. So
We had a few questions about QBO projects. I'm not sure. Like, is it a newer feature, a newer part of the product?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know it's been out for a while. I know that we haven't done a ton of marketing around it, which I wish I could speak for into it. I don't know why we haven't, right? It's something that we see. You mentioned that handout that we had a couple of our QuickBooks partners put together. We see those partners using it quite a bit with their clients, which are construction companies. But the everyday user, I'm not sure why it hasn't had a ton of traction. It might be because people just don't know about it. We haven't done a great job marketing it.
What is it fundamentally designed to do, QBO projects?
Work in progress specifically.
Okay. That's sort of a feature that you guys added to help manage that better.
Yeah. It's just, it gets one level deeper than just your typical chart of accounts of saying, hey, here's labor. Like, right. It's going to say, okay, on this job at this client's house, here's the project, right? And then that's cool because if you, like, for me, I bought a fixer upper 5 years ago and I'm 0% handy, which is bad, right? So I'm hiring out everything. But like, if you come back to my house and this is, you're on project number three, you just go into QuickBooks, say, Nate Flake, there we are. Cool. And now I can see, like, if I wanted to ask the same contractor, hey, can you like actually give me a report of the last 2 years of what we've done together? Like, they'd be able to do that with this feature. So
yeah, very cool. Okay, hack number six, mistake number six, not using third-party apps.
Yeah, this comes up a lot. So I think in this, and again, this isn't specific to construction companies or contractors, but I think it's human nature to want to be cheap and save money, right? You're like, hey, I just bought QuickBooks Online. There's no way I'm adding another software to the stack, you know, this year. So a lot of people will rely solely on QuickBooks without integrating any additional tools, whether it be a CRM, a project management software. And there's some that make it like they can make it work. I think there's, but you know, it's one of those things where like, hey, if this person were to leave the company, we have no idea, because they were doing 18 workarounds and they're doing everything in a specific way to make it work. Right. So you got to do a lot of workarounds to be able to track everything in a business if you don't use third-party apps. So yeah, the solution to that would be like explore third-party apps. I know. And some of them, you don't need their everything with all the bells and whistles. You know, I know, Benji, we talked about Noify is a great partner of ours. They have an awesome solution. We have others like BuilderTrend, Procore, and even from like a CRM solution or even like a workflow, like using like a Monday or a type of just workflow process to get, you know, to make sure you're like hitting your tasks. Like QuickBooks doesn't have the workflow management tools in there that some of these other CRMs do have. Like, right, we're focused on accounting and financials, and that's kind of our baby. And so, you know, if you go to like a Noify or Procore, like if you're looking specific for construction features of like tracking a job of all the way from bidding out to, you know, uploading blueprints and things like that, like that's the kind of stuff that third-party apps are going to have. And then all of those, the cool thing about all those is the integrations are pretty stellar and the accounting will flow right back into QuickBooks.
You guys right. have done a good job of that at QuickBooks, just the integrations. Like you guys play nicely with pretty much everything.
Yeah. Yeah. We have an open API, which essentially means it's like we're open for connections. Yeah. Essentially, right? And it's nice because a lot of companies, and this, if you're listening to this, this may be you, like you probably have people in QuickBooks that you definitely don't want touching QuickBooks. It gets them out of QuickBooks, right? So you have a couple of people in QuickBooks, and it sounds weird for me to be saying like, we want some people out of QuickBooks, but you actually do. Like, you don't want too many hands in the kitchen is a bad thing, especially when it comes to your financials.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so, yeah, so like, you know, you have two or three people working in Noify, and that's their day-to-day operation, and then that flows back, and then you have the one or two people you trust that are using QuickBooks.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great point. I think our listeners for the most part are pretty, let's say, like tech forward, like tech yeah. progressive when it comes to your average contractor. They'd certainly be on the more tech savvy end of the spectrum. Sure. But it's a point worth making, and you know, at the risk of using too many like cheesy metaphors or analogies, like you know, QuickBooks is one tool, a CRM is another tool. If you wanted to get into like really marketing advanced marketing automations, that might be a third tool and beyond. Like, think of all the tools you show up to your job site with. Like, if you just showed up and you just had a saw and you needed to like nail some nails and you're hammering the nails with the saw, it's going to be pretty difficult. So, it's good. It's obviously smart to look into like the integrations that your products or the things you're interested in have. You don't want something that is just sort of living on an island. You're going to need to do double entry, but use the best tool for the job and understand what the job that tool is designed to do actually is in the first place. So it's a great point. Let's move on. Number seven, ignoring financial reports.
Yeah, this seems pretty like obvious, but you'd be shocked at how many times companies don't even run any regularly scheduled reports. So the mistake is like neglecting to look at reporting, right? And be like, oh no, I know my business. I have a pulse on it, right? Like I'm in QuickBooks a lot, so I know. But if you don't like set up, a lot of people don't know this, you can set up scheduled reports within QuickBooks. So you don't have to go in and manually do it. You set it up once and then it gets emailed to you every Friday or whatever it is, right? Profit and loss is a basic one, your balance sheet, job costing reporting, you know, so, you know, especially if you're the owner of the business or you're the project manager and you need to see and make sure that you're working in, you know, in the black, like set up those reports, set up two or three reports that are weekly that get emailed to you. It's very, very simple to do. And it's just a good way to keep a pulse on the business.
A lot of the times with some of these softwares, I mean, even I find to be honest, like I'm, you know, I get into Zoho and I need to look at something. Like even we've been using this for 3 years. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but even I still get confused about what it is I'm looking. I'm looking for a very specific insight on a very specific thing, and there's like a million reports available. Any thoughts on sort of helping people know which are the right things to look at? Because you can end up very quickly in a situation where it's just sort of analysis paralysis. There's like
too many
numbers
things,
everywhere, and it's just noise. If someone is needing help figuring out which reports to pull and when, is that going back to your earlier point? Are they connecting with a partner?
Yeah, you can connect with a partner, but I think there's a lot of free education out there too.
YouTube?
Benji, I would just Google it. Like, hey, what are the best construction reports for QBO?
Okay, cool.
And then you'll get a bunch, but and then there'll be tutorials on how to set it up. It's honestly very easy to set up. I would say keep your filters wider, right? So don't go in and make a bunch of filters. So then you're getting, like you said, too specific of data. You want a higher view feature. So
point number 8 is mishandling payroll. That's a doozy. What happens here?
Yeah, so a lot of people will have inaccurate time calculations, and then that results in payroll being non-compliant with government and all sorts of things, and then basically ends up costing you more money to go and correct it. So if you don't have some type of payroll solution in place, like we highly recommend that, as well as like some type of simple time tracking. Shameless plug, like QuickBooks has a great payroll system that integrates with QuickBooks Online. They also have a time tracking feature that lets you like set up a GPS radius, or someone drives into, let's say they're going to a certain address, by the time they get within 20 feet of that address, the time automatically starts. And like, so you can subcontractor tracking that way is really nice. But yeah, just making sure that you have some solution, because when tax time comes, like that's when we see a lot of people regretting not having it set up properly, because you can get in big trouble for not having your payroll taxes done correctly.
I mean, forget about the taxes for a sec. You can get in big trouble with your crews. Like if you're bending over backwards to hire the best people, and you are late on payroll or inaccurate. I mean, there are a few things in business that you just like do not with,
right?
Legal's one of them. Taxes are one of them. People's pay is a third. That's not an exhaustive list. It's a longer list than that. But like there are things you just like absolutely do by the book 100% correctly the right way every time. So you're mentioning you guys have a payroll product and you have a time tracking product that Intuit makes. But
yeah, it's called QuickBooks Payroll and then QuickBooks Time.
But if someone were kind of, they wanted to do something that's maybe more designed for their industry, or it has really advanced features, they can go and purchase something else and plug it into.
There's tons of third party. We talk about third party apps. There's tons of third party apps that integrate with QuickBooks, right? Interesting thing. If you want, I should have mentioned this on the third party section, but if you go to apps.com and you're like, okay, who owns that? Intuit owns that domain somehow. Apps.com takes you to the QuickBooks Online marketplace. So, and you can type in time tracking, you can type in payroll, and it's every app that integrates with QuickBooks Online. There's over 700 apps there.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, go there, check it out. You'll have, it's like Yelp. It'll have, you know, how many reviews and between 0 and 5 stars and things like that.
Cool. Point number 9 is mishandling payments.
Yeah. So this kind of goes back on the work in progress, but this is more of like actually taking payments from customers, right?
Oh, receiving payments.
Yeah, receiving payments. Okay. So we have a lot of people that come to us and they're like, hey, you know, I'm running a business and I want to be able to take credit card payments. Like, what can QuickBooks do? So, or they're like there's a lot of paper checks that get mishandled. They're lost in the visor or whatever happens, right? Invoicing errors, things like that. So this is kind of a good list too, because everything we've talked about kind of rolls into this error. So if you're tracking your work in progress, you've got your sub account set up correctly, you're at my house under my, you know, you're under my project now, and you've tracked the labor, you track the time, like all of that stuff leads into charging the customer the correct amount, right? So you have to make sure kind of, again, the house is built correctly. you know, to be able to put the roof on correctly. So this is like the final thing is like, hey, you're done with a project. You're invoicing the customer. You want to make sure that's correct. So, you know, using all of the things we've talked about will help. And then also having a payment solution, whether that be, you know, Square, Stripe, QBO has a payment solution that's great that you can take credit card. It's got one of the little tap machines that's like a little, we call it a puck, that you can bring with you that's wireless, right? To take credit card payments and debit card payments. And the coolest thing about, again, these all integrate back into QuickBooks. So you don't have to then go in and manually put in the journal entry and be like, okay, Nate paid me $1,202. $1,204. I messed that up, right? It automatically flows over and it auto matches your invoice to the payment within QuickBooks Online, which is stellar. And it saves you a ton of time.
A lot of business owners struggle to kind of accept the cut that payment processing takes. I don't know what you would know better than me what the latest is. Is it 3%? Is it 2.5%?
Yeah, it's between 3 and 4 right now. Yeah.
Between what?
I think it's between 3 and 4 right now.
Okay. So, I mean, like, it's not nothing. And especially when you're doing large projects, it just feels like an incredibly large cut.
So I will say this. This is my customer. I'm putting on a customer hat piece of someone who's done 5 years of a complete remodel of his own house.
Yeah.
I will pay the extra gladly to not have to go to the bank and get a check out of my bank. Like, I think my opinion is like, put that,
give them the option for it.
You can do the check or it just charged me 3% if you want to use your credit card.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm trying to go to Japan next year with my family, points, easy. That's the easiest decision I've ever made. I'll do the extra 3%. So I would say pass it on to the customer.
Okay.
If they want that, right? So there's a way to have both, right? If you don't want the charge, you can write me a check or we take cash, but I do take credit card payments, but there is a 3% fee that, you know.
Yeah.
I've never even thought twice about that. That would be my advice. But again, that's not my official Intuit advice. That's like from that's a customer opinion. Having.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's having a good done, point.
You know, 20 projects at his house in 4 years. So,
yeah, man, there's a reason a lot of these payment, like what great businesses. Merchant Square, these things have got valuations through the absolute
killer. Yeah it's killer.
That's a wicked.
It's convenience though. Like I get in, you know, I try to talk to when I talk to partners and they're like, yeah, we don't want to add this feature. I'm like, people are like, I will pay extra for convenience. People will do that. Customers, we talk about the very first thing we talked about on this was the customer experience, right? And if it's not convenient for me, like that's going to go against, that's in my head, that's a negative against the, you know, whoever the person is for my customer experience. Like you want to make sure it is seamless and easy for the customer and being able to take card payments. Like again, it's 2024.
Nice. It's
like
a feather in your cap. It's a nice piece. And you know, the tech is there to make that available. I'm very much a proponent of it. I just thought I'd ask what your thoughts were on that piece. Cause that is something that it's a tough to swallow pill. A lot of contractors have to deal with. And I do think that passing it along to the customer, even in a very open and transparent way, is fine. If they want to write you a check, they'll write you a check. Okay, point 100%. Number 10, DIY bookkeeping. I think this is obvious, but please.
Yeah, no, this is inclusive of everything we talked about, right? Like if you're listening to this and we've gone through this list, you're like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Journal entries and sub-accounts, like this sounds crazy. Hire a bookkeeper, right? We have so many people try to do it on their own and they don't have the time or patience or know-how. And they don't want to learn. They don't want to, you know, do what we've suggested and go learn on, like, you go YouTube it or go, you know, there's literally people on TikTok that do QuickBooks tips every day. And so it results in poor record keeping and then frustration and wasted time. And then you're entering data into QBO, all QuickBooks Online manually and things like that, right? So the solution is hire a bookkeeper to at least, like, even if you're just getting started and then every 6 months, you're like, hey, can we do a check-in? Right. That's not that expensive. Like that, it's not bad to have somebody at least come in, make sure you're compliant, but at least, especially on setting it up. And then, you know, as you kind of learn, then eventually the goal would be to like not have to have a bookkeeper because you got this covered. So that's what I would say. That again, that's kind of exhaustive of everything we've talked about, but DIY bookkeeping is definitely on this list of top 10 mistakes people make.
A couple things I'll just add here would be, Find a good bookkeeper, but find a good one. That, like anything, there is massive variance between excellent bookkeeping and bad bookkeeping. And if you're novice at business, One of the very, very common mistakes is they sort of, I think people don't realize that there is such a thing as talent, skill, work ethic, ongoing education, industry specialization. Here's a shameless plug for us. We did an episode years ago. Maybe we can put the thumbnail on screen and make it easy to find for you guys on how to find a good bookkeeper. Not a bad one, because this is so common. So that would be my first point. And then the second point would be, find a way, if you want good, easy bookkeeping. I don't know if you mentioned this already, probably you did, but just there's really good tools for receipt storage, like apps, yep. scanning apps that sort of have folders organized. It's yep. very intuitive. If you're relying on your crews to take pictures at, or take the receipt, put it in their wallet or a folder, and then put it in the car, and then bring it to you at the, every 2 weeks, you're gonna get 60% of the stuff you need yeah. at best. So you want to use some of these tools available to make that part of it as yeah. easy as possible. Your bookkeeper's gonna thank you down the road.
Yeah.
Here's a question to close. Those are our really, really strong 10 points. For users that are on QuickBooks, a question that emerges sometimes is like, how to know if they're on the right product? Should they be on something more sophisticated, less sophisticated? Before we wrap here, any thought, any guidance for people to sort of self-assess, hey, am I using the right QuickBooks product or not?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think the obvious kind of answer would be, like, if you ever do meet with a bookkeeper, that would be the first thing to ask them. The easy way to do it would just be to go to our website, go to QuickBooks. There's go to QuickBooks Online. There's literally comparisons of the price points with what features are included. So, like you mentioned, receipt capture, right? Like, that's a feature in one of our products, right? Where you have QuickBooks payments and you can take a picture. Your crew can take a picture of the receipts and then throw them away. And that's like, you know, so I would say go to QuickBooks and look at the feature list underneath the comparison. It's four right in a row and it has exactly what features. And if you're like, okay, I'm on Plus, but Advanced has this, right? Or I have four users, but I'm about to hire 15 more. Well, Advanced has 25 users, right? Or whatever it is. That'd be probably the easiest thing to do is get on and just check out the features, right? Some people may not even know what version they're on. And if you're on QuickBooks Online, you can go up to the About, you know, feature or the About section. It'll tell you what version you're on. If you're on Enterprise, then I forget. I think it's F11. Hit F11 and a screen comes up and it says exactly what version you're on. Yeah.
Just make sure you're using the right tool for the job. Your business grows. Your systems need to grow with it. So it's pretty common for people to graduate out of one thing and into the next.
Yeah, for sure.
Nate, this has been awesome, dude. Really, really solid overview. There's 10 QuickBook hacks for you. Appreciate the time, dude. We'll have to have you back again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Benji. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.